Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Planet Paddock, formerly known as For the World. I am Tiggy, and today we're so excited to be sitting down for the second time with McLaren's Director of Sustainability, Kim Wilson. We actually had our first ever For the World conversation with Kim, so that was crazy. She helped launch this series over a year ago, but our last conversation with her was about sustainability and diversity at McLaren. A lot has happened in the last year, and McLaren has since emerged as a leader in not just sustainability, but also climate action on the grid and beyond. And they're also killing it, actually on track with probably the fastest car right now. So very excited to be talking about all things sustainability, high performance. Today, we're diving into something super new and exciting with Kim, the applications of motorsport technologies to climate solutions beyond motorsport. So that means McLaren's climate contribution program, the use of recycled carbon fiber, a fully circular F1 car project, much more. But before we launch into our conversation with Kim, let's just set the stage a little bit. So we've talked about this before on the podcast. Motorsport acts sort of as an R&D lab for the automotive industry. At least many people, myself included, believe that. And when we think about the tech that comes out of those efforts, we usually focus on the strictly road relevant stuff like efficient engines, car software, hybrid engines. But road cars and all forms of transport and mobility are part of a larger system that, of course, impacts people, cities, ecosystems, you name it. So as a reminder from our last episode with Kim, the transport sector is the end-use sector that emits the most carbon emissions globally. So developing and perfecting tech that not only cuts down on the emissions of the transport sector, but also reaches across sectors to help reduce emissions, pollution, and waste in other areas, all of that is critical. And McLaren, as a manufacturer, a brand, a team, is a standout example of an organization we think that is carving out a role for itself as a systems level change maker. Climate solution stories can often get drowned out with all of the very real, very scary news about climate, but this is definitely a story we feel good about covering because McLaren is looking beyond the sport, beyond the industry, all while being super competitive on the grid. So that is very, very important. The two are not mutually exclusive. So without further ado, let's jump into the interview. We did this live at McLaren Technology Center, which still pinching ourselves over. So hope you enjoy. Kim, so lovely to see you and on your home turf. We're so happy to be here. I think you were our first ever guest for our sustainability series that we kicked off last year. So we're very excited to come full circle.
Amazing. Thank you. I didn't realize that, but thank you for coming back.
No, we're so happy to see it and everything, all the sustainability considerations, just being here at MTC and thinking about both at home and, you know, abroad as well. So really cool to see. Today, we want to dive a little bit deeper into the topic of motorsport technology and applications in the broader climate space and in the broader world. So we have lots to discuss on that topic, but let's start by setting the stage at home. McLaren Racing has four pillars of sustainability. You have net zero, circular economy, DEI, and health and well-being. Can you walk us briefly through that structure and give us a sense of how sustainability takes shape at McLaren?
Absolutely. So we've really looked at our impacts in terms of both social and environmental sustainability. So you can see we have two pillars that focus on environment and two on social. And it's where we think we can have the most positive impact within our team and society, but also we need to take responsibility for reducing, you know, making things better within our own operations. So in terms of net zero, I'm really proud to say that we are the first Formula One team to have had our science-based targets validated for net zero by the Science-Based Targets Initiative. That's been, you know, quite an achievement, and there's so much more work to go to do that, but that means we are validated to have targets in line with a 1.5 degree pathway to achieve net zero by 2040 and halve our emissions by 2030. And within that net zero platform as well, we've also got a program outside of our reductions, which I can talk about in a bit more detail later, around how we're going to give back to society in terms of climate contributions. Very closely related to that is circular economy. we're using way too much resources on our planet at the moment. We have an absolute responsibility to look at how much we're using, how we can close the loop on waste and increase recycled content and use more bio-based materials and move away from using materials that are plastics, fossil fuel derived, those sorts of things. So we've got a program around how can we design and develop a circular Formula One car, yes, as our big flagship on that, which is quite exciting.
We're excited to chat about that.
On the social side, we have, you know, we are wanting to set the standard for what diversity, equity and inclusion looks like, mm-hmm, in our sport. And we know that whilst we've come a massive way over the last few years, we've got a long way to go. So we've leaned in very much on how we improve the gender balance and women in motorsport. And I can talk about that in a bit more detail. But we have a target to increase our workforce representation from underrepresented groups to 40% by 2030. And that's not just gender, but ethnicity, people from the LGBTQ plus community, people with neurodivergence, mm-hmm, and disability, people with military backgrounds, military veterans. So that's also an important area of focus, and also people from low socioeconomic backgrounds, because it's quite a hard sport to get into if you're not of a certain background. And then finally, and last but not least, health and well-being is so fundamentally important, because as an elite sports team with with high pressure, high performance, mm-hmm, performance is our North Star. We really have to protect our people. We have to support them to perform at their best, both physically and mentally. And then how do we role model how we do that to enable others to thrive? Mm-hmm. That's a give back that we need to focus on too. Yeah.
100%. I mean, even just being here and seeing the light and the building and just all the physicality.
You can see green from everywhere, which is such a, important thing.
It's beautiful. We're very lucky, and I can share with you some of the things we're doing on our campus,
yes,
as well.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to that.
Yeah, that was a really great launch point for us into, kind of understanding the scope of sustainability at McLaren. But let's dive into some specifics now. So one of the really cool things about McLaren is you're striving to make an impact outside of the sport, across disciplines, across industries. And one of those ways is through the Climate Contribution Program. Can you tell us a little bit about your vision and McLaren's vision for that program and the successes you've had so far?
Absolutely. This is one that's really close to my heart. So we launched our Climate Contribution Program at the end of November 2023. And this was really about how can we take F1 know-how, expertise, the mindset, the culture, the performance focus, and translate that back into how can we help solve some of the world's problems in terms of the climate solutions that are out there, but they just need to scale and accelerate at a much faster pace, because we all know that we're running out of time in terms of meeting those challenges. It started with, and it's part of our legacy, but how could we do that in a way that was meaningful to us? So it started with me thinking, maybe we should do something everywhere where we go racing, but cross McLaren racing, that's crazy. That was just too big an elephant, 66 locations around the world. I was like, we're not going to have a meaningful impact. Yeah. So through a very considered exploratory process, we decided to focus in on three projects. Mm-hmm. And that's really focused on two things. One is, how do we scale and accelerate the removal of excess carbon dioxide from the atmosphere? Because mm-hmm. we've got too much, and we know to achieve net zero, all these organizations are going to need to buy carbon removal offsets, and there's mm-hmm. just not enough out there that's credible mm-hmm. and meaningful. So how can we address that? And we've got two projects that focus on that, which is Undo, which is about enhanced rock weathering, and Mombac, which is about restoring degraded pasture land in the Amazon and then restoring with biodiverse species. So those are two projects where we have carbon removal credits, and we're looking at how we can help them grow their organisations and what they're trying to contribute. The third one is the Great Barrier Reef Foundation. And that one is slightly different because it's on that nexus of climate and biodiversity, which is so important, with nature-based solutions being a really big part of what we need to do to address climate change. But also, we've got an Australian driver, and the reef is, she needs our help.
Yeah.
And so we're working with our engineering team called McCarran Accelerator. We sent some engineers out there to help understand how they're restoring coral reefs. So it's how they're growing baby coral in the lab, basically, and then putting it back out on the reef, and they're selecting species that will be able to survive the changing climate and how we can do that. But it's such an R&D phase, and that's great and that's fine, but how can we take our engineering know-how and work with them in partnership to help them get to the scale mm-hmm. that the world needs? So we've got a goal to help them develop automated deployment machines so they can put those baby coral into devices that are kind of like cradles and then put them out into sea, but in an automated way so that we can massively scale up the level of impact.
So talking about the Great Barrier Reef, and we love all of the sustainability report, but we particularly love the picture of Oscar that was in Australia. Is that right? And so tell us about that trip. You went with Oscar to the Great Barrier Reef, to Australia. What was that like? Any fun memories from that time?
So we went with Oscar and the team from the Great Barrier Reef Foundation and some journalists, because we really wanted to take advantage of the fact that Oscar was out in and the team were out in Australia anyway, for the Australian Grand Prix, and to show him what we were doing and to show the journalists what we were doing so that we could bring it to life and make it real, because one of our big opportunities is to help shine the spotlight on the problem and inspire others to see these are the sorts of solutions that, you know, unusual partnerships could end up having a real positive impact. So that was the point of it. It was a fleeting visit, but he was amazing, and he really absorbed the information. He was very considered about listening and learning. And I guess the highlight for me was we went out and had a swim on the reef. And that was amazing because we got to see some beautiful sea life underwater, and I was particularly happy because I saw a turtle swim underneath me, and I know it's about the coral, but it was also that as well, and that's so special, and it was great to see that the reef was still sustaining that life. But the other point to be really clear about was it's a reef that they didn't think the bleaching was going to happen on because it was that far south, and it is, and you could see, and it doesn't mean that it's going to die for sure, because it can recover. The problem is that, you know, the reef keeps getting hit by all sorts of events that it doesn't have time to recover. And that's why she needs our help.
Absolutely. Such a fun trip.
One of the cool things I think that trip really highlighted was this growing piece of the conversation we're hearing in motorsport, which is this intersection between biodiversity and motorsport, which are two things you really wouldn't think would be connected. So how's McLaren sort of approaching helping ecosystems and biodiversity when that might not really be in the purview?
So as you mentioned, I think let's start at home. So the McCarran Technology Centre campus, we actually, we are custodians of a wildflower meadow and quite a lot of land around where we are based. And so one of the first things that I did with my team when I joined 2.5 years ago was we did an assessment of the biodiversity value, a scientific one, of what we have here that we need to protect and enhance. And so we've been slowly working with our team around, you know, what can we do to build more habitats for insects and create more natural spaces, because it can look a little bit manicured, but there are opportunities to do that. And then the exciting thing is we've just also, I know it's not a purely diversity piece, but we have given a home to some beehives and some bees.
McLaren honey, we're looking out for it.
Let the bees have their honey first, and then we can maybe
any
look at
excess.
The excess.
Yeah.
And let them have their wax. Yes, and let them have their wax first, and then we can look at that. But you know, it's about how do we enhance the opportunities we have there. And yes, we are doing some infrastructure projects, we need to, but we are ensuring that we give back more biodiversity gain through the surrounding landscaping than we had before we did that work. So that's important. And then, of course, the Great Barrier Reef Foundation is clearly about restoring ecosystems, because damaged ecosystems, because coral reefs, whilst they're only 1% of the seafloor, they are supporting 25% of marine life. So keeping them alive is important. In terms of Mombac, they're planting with biodiverse species to ensure that that land that's very degraded can restore and support the Amazon and the rainforest, which I would characterise as the lungs of the planet. So that's important. But even Undo, where it might not seem as obvious and understandable to people, That's about taking rock that enhances soil health and spreading it on the soil. So in the way that on agricultural land, they lime the fields to increase crop yields, they're also spreading rock on there that can do that while storing carbon. But eventually that carbon ends up back in the ocean, and that helps alkaline or acidic our oceans that are getting more acidic. Yeah. So that's also a way of doing that. So we have things that we can do to help.
Yeah.
And I love that you're thinking both near and far, at home and elsewhere. But bringing it back to home, so we mentioned the circular car project earlier. I want to talk about recycled carbon fiber, one of the biggest innovations and breakthroughs that McLaren has had. So talk to us about how the team has approached that technology and any breakthroughs there.
Yeah, absolutely. So recycled carbon fiber is something that we've been wanting to look at for a while, and we were really excited to find a supplier of eCarbon who have been able to produce high quality recycled carbon fiber, where the tension's always, and the risk is always, car performance versus sustainability. And we've found this source of recycled carbon fiber that's 90% less carbon intensive than standard carbon fiber. Mm-hmm. And we trialed it and ran it on the car at the Austin US Grand Prix last year. And we did it on some panels that weren't going to affect performance, and it didn't, and it worked. So then this year at Silverstone, we did it again, and we ran it on Oscar's car on some panels on behind the side pods. And again, he ran in free practice and did really well. Great. So that's been fantastic. It's an innovative material. We believe there's a lot of potential in it. Where we are now is we need to work with the regulators to enable us to innovate and do more. But the vision being that eventually we could be, if the regulations allow and the market allows, we should be able to use this on anywhere we're using carbon fiber on the car. That would be an incredible vision. We're not there yet, but that's where we should try and get to.
Yeah, and especially with a material like carbon fiber, which is one of the more tricky ones to recycle, the fact that we're putting it under pressure in such a high pressure environment and it's withstanding that test, I think is a great, you know, sort of signal to the rest of the market that you can do these things sustainably and not have to sacrifice high performance. But shifting gears a little bit, pun fully intended, we'd love to discuss McLaren's sustainable aviation fuel and sustainable marine fuel programs, both with Ecolab and otherwise. A lot of criticism from fans and pros alike is, you know, of course, leverage at the calendar and so much of the logistics. McLaren is really making an effort to shift a lot of the air freight to sea freight, ground freight. And, you know, but in some cases, you simply can't get around some of these things. So how has McLaren approached this challenge, and what can it contribute to sustainability in these areas?
So you're absolutely right. Look, we're a global sport. We can't get away from the fact that how do we go racing globally if we don't fly people and things around the world? So the first thing is making sure that we are really being thoughtful about what we send, how we send it, how much we send. And there's been a massive project to reduce the amount of things that we send from air freight and move it into sea freight, because that's 99% less carbon intensive than air freight. And yes, we have to have more sets, but it's still net impact better than air freight. And we've achieved about 10% reduction doing that. But we now need to look at what does it look like in terms of sustainable aviation fuel. It's a very, very nascent market. Mm. And what Ecolab are helping us with is figuring out how do we dip our toe in and take that first step in an authentic, meaningful way. So we are, they have a sustainable aviation fuel hub in Minnesota, and they're helping us understand what does that look like to meet our science-based targets and emissions reductions, but start looking at how we can inset using sustainable aviation fuel. And that's important because, again, a bit like the Climate Contribution Program, if we can show that we support that market, it's a bit like when we were back in the day when everyone was looking at renewable electricity. Yeah. It's how do you invest in that to show that you want support and more investment in that space and create the demand. So that's what we're looking at there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's super exciting. We're excited about the impact and the implications beyond just motorsport. And I think that brings us to the next question, which is, we've talked about a lot of different technologies, but what are you most excited about when it comes to impact beyond motorsport, impact beyond, you know?
I know I've already talked about recycled carbon fiber, but we just need to think about the fact that there is an awful lot of carbon fiber out there on the market that doesn't have a second life. Mm-hmm. Think of all those wind turbines that are going to be decommissioned that we've invested in. I know that there's going to be a lot of them coming down in Scotland, for example, in the UK. Think about the automotive industry. There is such a huge amount of virgin carbon fiber out there that needs to be recycled. So I would back that. Yeah. As something that if we can prove it's good enough for Formula One technically, if then it can be good enough for other uses in industry.
Yeah. And talking about, you know, uses across industries and across series, McLaren of course is home to five different series.
Which six, actually, if you count F1 Academy.
Oh, brilliant, yes. And, you know, that's a huge number of things to manage, but at the same time, what are you able to take learning from one series and apply it to another? How does that ecosystem kind of work together?
So it's something that I think we're in a really unique position at McLaren Racing to do. So, you know, a good example is Extreme E. They had a legacy project program. So it is where I looked first when I was trying to design the climate contribution program and take their learnings and what's best. And that's where we've ended up on international projects, but where we are leaving a positive legacy. Another example would be, I hate to bring up COVID, but off the back of COVID, we had to think about how do we go racing without sending people abroad. And so this concept of mission control, where some of the race team are based here, mm-hmm. and the race strategy team, and then they don't travel, but they use technology to connect back to the track during the race and support that. That's something that we've also been looking at for other series as well. So just a real couple of examples of where you take those ideas. I think the third one I'd just flag is the F1 circular car. They did some work on Formula E on the life cycle carbon impact of the car, and that was our starting point to think, how do we do this for our car?
Yeah.
And we've been working with our partner to Deloitte to then build on that. So some examples.
Passion, drive, and patience, the formula for winning F1 championships, is sometimes also what you need to keep your beloved car running day in and day out. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're looking for speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. They have over 122 million parts for your car. You'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And they have eBay Guaranteed Fit, which means your part is guaranteed to fit your car every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're about burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. So keep your car alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, friends, today we're talking about sleep and specifically getting better sleep. If you can relate to having trouble falling asleep and staying asleep and getting good quality sleep, then listen up. We are so excited to share a new product we've been using from Beam, their Dream Powder. Our listeners will get a special discount on this Dream Powder. It's a science-backed, healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. It tastes insane. I did it last night and I woke up this Monday morning feeling incredibly refreshed. I gave it to my little sister and she loved it too. They also have amazing flavors, sea salt caramel, brownie batter, vanilla chai, and then of course the original flavor, cinnamon cocoa. It's been tested for high quality efficacy and formulated to ease your body into rest, supporting all four stages of the sleep cycle to help you stay asleep longer and fall asleep faster. Other sleep aids can cause next day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful all natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. If you want to try the best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/paddockproject and use code paddockproject at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/paddockproject and use code paddockproject for up to 40% off. We have been very busy lately and have been really trying to do everything we can to feel our best as we wind up the summer and head into a very busy fall. And one thing we've been doing to help us and support us is using our Happy Mammoth products, especially Estro Control. It helps to support our hormones and alleviate any of those pesky PMS symptoms, including bloating. And it also assists in maintaining cognitive health and promoting liver function and digestive health. Happy Mammoth also has the amazing Hormone Harmony supplement dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women, and they make no compromise when it comes to quality. For a limited time, get 15% off your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today. Like most people, we love a great deal, but what we don't love is jumping through a million hoops just to end up saving a few dollars, especially when it comes to wireless plans. There's so many promos and offers out there, but they do really make it hard to get good quality savings. With Mint Mobile, it really is so easy though. For just $15 a month, you can get a wireless plan when you get a 3-month plan. And the website and activation process are so seamless. Honestly, the longest part of this process is going to be the time that you spend on hold trying to break up with your old provider. To get started, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. There you can see that right now all 3-month plans are only $15 a month, including the unlimited plan. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, and you can bring your old phone number along with all of your existing contacts. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. That's mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/F1RTheGirls. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions may apply.
And so we've talked a lot about technical solutions, but how about non-technical solutions when it comes to social sustainability or other things where you're trying to drive systemic change in a way that's not necessarily doesn't necessarily have technology at front and center? What are some of those things? I know there's a lot to choose from, but what are some of those things that excite you on that front?
So I think I'll pick our 60 Scholars program.
We met some of them at the Formula E weekend.
Oh, which was fantastic. Amazing. So very exciting. So last year with the 60th anniversary of McLaren Racing, again, it was thinking about legacy, but in a human way. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to create a program where we could provide the opportunity to 60 women who want careers in STEM to have the opportunity to network, have masterclasses, get an insight into what we do in Formula One and motorsport, and so created a summer program for them. And that was in partnership with some of our amazing partners, because that's the other place where we can have real positive impact, is through collaboration through our amazing partner ecosystem. So Google, Cadence and Cisco were our inaugural partners there. We actually launched the phase two, the next stage, yesterday.
Congratulations.
And we have Google and Cisco and Deloitte supporting that program, and Udemy providing their learning platform to support that. So I'm super excited about that. But just going back to last year's program, impact is really important to me. And I'm so happy to say that 6 of the 60 scholars either have roles at McLaren Racing or in Extreme E at series level. And that is a result of the networks that they made in that program. So it just goes to show, from a recruitment perspective, I know the numbers are small, but the turnover of 10% of that cohort then having an opportunity,
that's
is
incredible.
Really amazing.
And McLaren Racing, but also Extreme E, thinking about the sustainability tie-in there, it's amazing that that's where some of these ladies are focused as well. That's great.
Yeah, and you know, thinking about the whole pipeline and how you build a team and how you build a culture, the kind of corporate world in general can sometimes really struggle with how to build culture and DNA around sustainability. But you've, I think, come across as a champion for teamwork and really forwarding collaboration and collaborations-based sustainability. How did you approach building a really solid culture of sustainability at McLaren, and what do you think the industry sort of has to learn from that?
So I think I've been fortunate because leadership is everything, and I've come in with really strong leadership buy-in and back-in, backing. So I think, you know, I can't take credit for that. but I think collaboration and breaking down barriers is really important, and leaning in on where everybody's skill sets are going to add value. And I think part of that is being able to talk the language of the people you're trying to come around to a way of thinking and add sustainability to the lens of their decision making. So really building those relationships and tailoring what your ask is of different departments who have different influences has been really, really important. And so for me, that's probably been one of the keys, but also meeting people where they are. Yes, so I think I don't want people to shrink away when I enter the room, and you know, sustainability can sometimes be like the guilt thing. Yeah. And so recognizing that every little step that somebody takes mm-hmm. is worth it, and taking, and I guess it's helpful in the Formula One culture and the racing mindset of that continuous improvement where, you know, every second on track, you know, tenth of a second on track matters. You know, what we, every pound we spend on performance matters. Mm-hmm. So then you bring the sustainability lens on where things come from, where we source them. All of those small decisions matter, and those incremental gains are worth counting.
Yeah, 100%. It's Formula One after all. It's not even tenths anymore. It's hundreds, thousands that matter. So that's great to hear. And you work at McLaren Racing and collaborating with all sorts of partners, F1, the FIA, other partners on logistics, technology, all over the place to tackle some of these sustainability challenges. But where do you feel like you have to look outside motorsport, outside F1, outside the FIA to kind of tackle some of the things that are harder to figure out within the sport?
So I think we are super fortunate at McLaren Racing because we have such an incredible partner ecosystem. You know, we have the most partners of any other team, and everyone has their contribution to make. So I look out to our partners. I look out to other industries and other sports because there are other sports who are maybe more advanced than the motorsport in their sustainability thinking.
I'm curious which sports come to mind.
Well, it depends on the subject that you're interested in. But just as a live example, we're having conversations around team kit at the moment, and a lot of work has been done in that space in football, for example. So if you're looking at where sports apparel has gone, you would look to football as a starting point. And then there are other things that you'd want to look at.
Yeah, now tennis is trying to make sustainable tennis balls.
Recycled carbon fibre is a good example to go back to, where, you know, sailing has looked at it, golf has looked at it, tennis has looked at it. So you do look at other sports as well and take the best of what everyone's done and build on it.
That's great. There's much to be learned across many industries, so we'd love to hear that. We're going to do a few rapid-fire questions, very easy, hopefully. But we want to start with the most beautiful place that we are in now, McLaren Technology Center, MTC. What's your favorite place at MTC, or what's your favorite part of it?
I think it might be obvious, but the Boulevard is really special.
Incredible.
So for anyone who can't visualize that, it's the most beautiful street at the front of our building with the lake and nature outside on one side, and then for the motorsport fans, then it's almost like a museum of the history of our cars, all the way down the length of that, including our automotive cars as well. And yeah,
we got to see some of them. Yeah, we got to sit in one of the sports cars, which was very cool.
I think the cool thing about, you know, the Boulevard, when you take a tour at the MTC, that's kind of one of the pieces that you spend the most time in. And it's awesome that our tour guides and the other incredible folks at McLaren have brought up how much nature factors into the design and how, like, nature is the ultimate designer, right? It's ultimate efficiency. So as much as we can do to sort of incorporate that language and put people in places that are designed to facilitate those kind of conversations is so cool.
Absolutely.
But following up with our next rapid fire question, as the director of sustainability at McLaren, what are some of your favorite sustainable products or places? I know that can be kind of a thorny question when we're thinking about consuming, but sometimes it helps to hear from professionals in the space for folks that are looking to get started and, you know, what can I do? What can I use?
Yeah, so we have an amazing collaboration with a not-for-profit in Indianapolis with our Aaron McLaren team called People for Urban Progress, or PUP. And they took some of our Indy 500 fire suits and they turned them into one-of-a-kind duffel bags that have signatures from our drivers on. And they've also then used some of the offcuts for making, like, oven gloves and pot holders because, you know, it's heat-proof and fire-safe. You know, they're one-of-a-kind. They're useful, and it gives a second life to something. So for me, the stuff that People for Urban Progress do is really exciting, and I think we should see more of that.
I love that.
Upcycling is great. We are sitting in upcycled clothing today.
Amazing.
Bringing it to the table. So.
And speaking of the UK, what are some of your favorite flora or fauna here?
so much to choose from. I'm not going to overthink this.
Rapid fire.
Yeah, there's a baby robin in my garden at the moment who sits and entertains me in the evening. And I just love to see that even though I live right in the centre of London, the bird life is still there and it's cute. It's iconic as a robin.
Yeah. Last question, but certainly not the least. What is your favourite F1 race?
I'm going to say the first one I ever went to, which was Imola in 2022, because it wasn't expected, but Lando actually got a podium and came third at that race, and the team wasn't feeling like we were in a position to even have a car that could get a podium, and just to see that reaction and what it's all about was pretty special.
For your first race, that's incredible.
It's just exemplary of the luck that you bring to the team.
The other ones I went to didn't.
We don't have to talk about that.
Well, Kim, thank you so much. This has been enlightening for us. We always learn so much when we talk with you and really appreciate the time and sharing all this amazing wisdom.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.